All right, y'all, we are talking Houston Texans rookies with our guy, John Harris. And of course, man, since we got John Harris on, we're going to get into his Harris Top 100, the top 10 players. And it's either or on this Wednesday episode of Locked On NFL Draft. Let's go.
You are Locked On NFL Draft, your daily podcast covering the NFL Draft. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of the Locked On NFL Draft Show. I am your host, former NFL and NFL defensive back, Eric Crocker. And on this episode, man, I got our guy, John Harris, with us from J. Harris Football on Twitter. You can find him there. You can also find me at Eric_Crocker on Twitter. We want to thank you for making us your first listen of the day and talk about some good prospects here. All right. Some draft prospects, Houston Texans. And you know, we have to start with the big dog, Damian Pierce. All right. I know you probably thought I was going with Derek Stingley Jr., but Damian Pierce, a guy who, you know, I saw the clips floating around, and this was a guy who I felt like could potentially make an immediate impact for the Houston Texans. He comes in. Is he going to take the starting role just yet, or are they going to make him work a little bit more for it?
Croc, I think they'll make Pierce work for it a little bit more, but it was interesting. We've been so excited to see him. I've told the story before when we were at the combine, and you were there at the combine. There were very few people doing the bench press. Very few. I would say that maybe there were two receivers that did it, if that. There were like four or five running backs that did it, and Damian was one of them. And so our radio table was off, like near the bench press over kind of in the corner. And I always go over there and I watch every year we had the combine. And so I go over there and watch. And so all the running backs that aren't doing a drill are surrounding the thing, cheering for Damian and Hassan Haskins from out of Michigan. And those are about the only two. There are a couple more that did it. And so I couldn't really see Damian. I could just see the weight going up. I watched the TV screen. I could see something. I'm like, what the heck is that? Dude's wearing UGG slides doing the bench press at the combine. I'm like, yeah, wow. It's just different. So he does 21 reps. And so we talked to him draft night when we drafted him, and he just like, yeah, I would have done 24, 25. So you knew he was a little bit of a character, but he'd really been showing it off in training camp. And you could just see, man. And then the one thing that stood out to me was his feet. Like we always knew he had power and a contact balance and all the things you look for in kind of a thicker, tough running back. But, man, his feet are incredible. So during a game, I'm always I'm in queue with Mark Vandermeer, our play-by-play voice, as I'm on the sidelines. And so I can talk to him in the broadcast. So I can give him, hey, somebody's down on the sidelines or somebody's down on the field. I can give him kind of little tips and hints. And so over the years, I've gotten to where, you know, I'll just subtly throw something in to try and make he and Andre Ware laugh. And then there's sometimes where I just, you know, kind of pipe in with something real fast. So Damian Pierce had gone in the game for the first time, and I literally just whispered, Damian's in the game. And they handed the ball to him on the first play, and he knifes through for about 20 on power play that he cut it back, and all of a sudden the fans went nuts. They went berserk, and it was like we have not seen a young running back. And I know, you know, Eric, you cover the 49ers. They've seen young running backs for years. You know, it was Raheem Mostert, and then it was Elijah Mitchell last year. It's like it felt like there was a young running back kind of popping out of the blue. So to you and the Niners fans, like, yeah, what's the big deal about a rookie running back? We have those all the time, right?
Right.
We had not drafted a rookie in 5 years.
Wow.
It goes back to 2017. And so we were trotting out guys that, you know, that were, you know, they were up there in running back years, you know, Mark Ingram, Philip Lindsay, David Johnson. We're trotting these guys out there, and it just, you know, the fans are like, can we have somebody young? And so when they saw Pierce rip off that run, there was this excitement of, oh, we have something here. And then he had another run a little bit later, about 9-10 yards. Then they went back to throw. And the Saints brought some heat. And so he linebacker's coming, and he pops the linebacker. The linebacker decides he's going to jump a little bit. Pierce took him and put him on his backside. And it's one of those things you're not really going to see. I just happened to be watching in that direction, and I saw it, and that was my next hit from the sideline. And, I mean, he blasted him. The guy, Hansen was his name. He had to go out of the game. So he did something great on every single play, and it just got the fans so excited. Like, do we have a young running back that we could do something with? And I saw him in a hallway as I was doing radio the other day, and I was walking out. He's walking to the cafeteria, and I was walking back, and I saw him, and we said hey to each other, and I said, hey, did you apologize to number 40 for taking his soul? And he looked at me and went, nope. And that was it. And I just thought, I love this guy. I love him, and the fans will as well. But they also drafted Jalen Petrie in the second round. And Croc, we've talked about, you know, Petrie before. He's just all ball all the time. And what I loved about Jalen on Saturday night, they didn't have everybody playing. You know, Sting didn't play, which I was okay with. They're still trying to get him, you know, all the way up to speed so he's ready to go September 11th against the Colts. But Jalen Petrie went out, and I said to Mark at some point during a break, I think he's our best defensive player on the field tonight. And I don't even know if it's close. So Petrie's starting day one. Stingley's going to start day one. I wouldn't be surprised if Damien eventually becomes the starter over Marlon Mack and Rex Burkhead day one. And then Kenyon Green, when he comes back, apparently he's dealing with a little bit of a concussion issue. He's been out for a little bit. So when he comes back, you throw him into the mix at left guard. He had really been showing some things before he had to step out of practice. It's incumbent on Davis Mills to kind of turn this thing around, Eric. But if he does, there's some young talent, really, for the first time in a long time there in Houston we can get excited about. And like I said, I know you see it with the 49ers. They have just drafted good, young talent after young talent. We hadn't. Before Stingley, the only other first-round pick we had in the building was Titus Howard. That was it. That was the only first-round pick that we made in the last 5 years. So to see young talent in Houston was really, really kind of cool this weekend.
What about the receiver position? Because I know, you know, drafting John Metchie pretty high, and you know, he's dealing with his personal things going on. He was recovering from a torn ACL, and then next thing you know, this cancer creeps up on him, and he has to deal with that, and he's expected to make a strong recovery, and we're all praying for him. But who's going to fill in for that? We know Brandon Cooks is taking off. Are there any young receivers kind of maybe taking that next step to be a guy for Davis Mills?
We need Nico Collins, who's obviously a different receiver than John Metchie. We need Nico Collins to be that guy. We need Nico to step up and be that dude this year. And I think he can. I mean, I think about this all the time, Eric. I don't say he took 2020 off. He told me that he would have gone back to play in 2020, but the Big Ten screwed it up so badly by saying we're not playing, and then we're going to play. Oh, no, we're not playing. And they kind of vacillated. And so he was like, look, I'm knee-deep in my draft prep. I'm just going to go with it. So he had not played in 2020 at all, really shook the rust off, and now you're starting to see kind of the makings of what could be a really good athletic big receiver for the Texans. So it's those two guys, and then it becomes sort of a battle for who becomes the third guy. Is it Philip Dorsett? Can he find something after an injury last year? Showed us a little bit in a couple of games he played, but is he the guy? Is it a really unknown rookie, a guy like Johnny Johnson, who came out of Oregon, who had a really nice finish to the game the other day? It's incumbent they find that third receiver. I think they've got some candidates. I don't know if they're ready to, you know, stamp one and go. I do know that Metchie was that guy. They loved everything about John Metchie. I mean, they raved about it. The next day after drafting him, they're like, wait till you see this guy. I'm like, I've seen the guy. And they're like, well, we know you do, but I'm just saying, wait till you see him. In the short time he was here, even though he wasn't practicing, he just endeared himself to the guys in the receiver room, to the organization. I think he is going to be a great fit in 2023 and beyond. It's going to be great to have him as a draft pick in 2023. But a third guy has to emerge, and maybe it's a tight end. Maybe it's a Brevin Jordan type who caught 20 balls in 8 games last year. Maybe he's a guy that can step up and kind of be a receiver tight end hybrid and has had a good camp. But that third receiver is a guy that really needs to step up, and Metchie would have filled that role, I mean, perfectly. So hopefully a guy like Philip Dorsett can go back in the Wayback Machine all the way back to University of Miami and give us what he gave the Hurricanes then. And if he gives that now, then we got a shot to have an offense that does some things.
Hope to see them get somebody for my guy, Davis Mills. I'm rooting for Davis Mills. I feel like I'm like the biggest Davis Mills fan outside of anyone that's a Houston Texas fan, because I just wanted to see the guy do well. All right, and speaking of doing well, we got some top 10 prospects we're going to talk about coming up from John Harris's Harris 100. All right, but first, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about our friends over at Elias Game Plan. All right, and it's almost that start of the NFL season. I love this time of the year, and I'm pretty sure you do as well. And if you're into sports betting or fantasy, you need that competitive edge to win, and that's why I highly recommend the Elias Game Plan app. All right, it's the ultimate sports betting and fantasy companion for your NFL, NBA, or MLB seasons. All right, Elias Game Plan is the only sports app from the most trusted name in sports stats. That's Elias Sports Bureau. All right, the official statisticians of U.S. pro sports leagues, including the NFL. Right, so their app, it lets you access team and player stats, head-to-head team comparisons, and Elias insights from the Elias Sports Bureau's research team. All right, this app is really a one-stop source for everything that you need when it comes to statistics. All right, player news and league-validated player stats and team records, expert game analysis for betting. It's perfect for the preseason if you're into betting. Now, I know I am. I've been doing it. All right, and you get the player previews to help you draft a winning fantasy team and preview so you know what to expect in the regular season once it kicks off. All right, Elias is the most respected and trusted research team in the industry. All right, quality information is key. So I'm so glad that they created this app for the accurate data that they present. All right, the Elias insights help me know, you know, the game plan and the strategy to take my step to the next level, and is backed by numbers, not just my intuition. All right, take my advice. Download the Elias Game Plan app today. And they got new features available all the time to take your game to the next level. NFL season's right around the corner, so don't wait. Find Elias Game Plan in the App Store or Play Store today. All right, y'all, we want to thank you for making Locked On NFL Draft your first listen of the day. And let you know, man, across the Locked On Network, they got plenty of podcasts. Everything that you're looking for, baseball, football, basketball, it doesn't matter. Locked On Network, they got a team for you every day. All right, John, let's get into some of your Harris 100s. And you got your top 10 pretty much sorted out right now, heading into the college football season. So lay it on us and just give us a little thought process behind your top 10.
You got it. I go through as I would for a draft. You know, I don't do this, you know, for the Texans. I do it for all 32 teams. So there would be a few players I probably would leave out for different reasons for the Texans, but this is for all 32 teams. These are just the way that I look at the top prospects heading into the 2023 draft. Now, some are third-year guys that have eligibility left. Some have 2 years eligibility left. Some have 1 year. Some are, I don't even call them seniors anymore. I look at guys in third year, fourth year, fifth year, and just rank them as such. What I've done with this one, though, Eric, it's a little different, and I probably am opening up myself for criticism for doing it, but I like it. It kind of helps me as I go through doing this, is I've come up with a player comp for each guy right now. Now, I might change that after a little bit, but just kind of watching as much as I have, I've come up with a player comp for each one. So I'll hit you with the player comp as I go through, and then if one hits you, I know one will hit you at number 8, and you'll hear why in just a second. But at number 10, I've got tight end Michael Mayer from out of Notre Dame, who I think is an absolute just stud in every aspect. I do think there's some concentration drops that he's got to improve on, but he will block when you need him to. He's a better blocker than some of the other tight ends that have come out at his size. And I comped him to Lions tight end T.J. Hockenson. At number nine, I got Eli Ricks. Now, I know some people aren't as high on Eli Ricks as I am. I've been watching Ricks since his days of modern day.
He got the nickname Pick Six Ricks.
Yes, and, I mean, it was against everybody. I mean, he was picking off D.J. Uiagalelei back at Bosco. So I got him at number 9 at 6'2", 195, and I comped him to Patrick Surtain. Now, I think Surtain is a little bit more physical in press, where I think Ricks has got better cover ability, if that makes sense. I think Ricks can probably match him a little better than Surtain, but Surtain's turning into one heck of a player with Denver, so Ricks could only hope to be that guy. Number 8, now this is going to be the interesting one because I know, well, I'll give you the comp. The comp is Deebo Samuel. The wide receiver at number 8 is Jackson Smith and Jigba. And this is why I use this one. nobody's really going to be Deebo Samuel. But when I look at and saw Deebo up close, what stood out to me was how he was built. His butt was bigger than the stadium. His thighs are massive. He is thick. He looks like a running back, but he does everything like a wide receiver. And I saw Njigba at the combine, long story, he was checking out or checking into the hotel we were checking out of. And I saw the same look, just thick trunk, thick legs, where he wins in the passing game, how good he is after the catch. So I comp Jaxon Smith-Njigba. He's at number 8. I comped him to the 49ers star wide back. We'll see if he's still that. Deebo Samuel at number 8. And number 7, I went with Georgia cornerback Kelee Ringo, who had the pick 6 in the game against Alabama. I think he's a guy that's going to get better and better. And at 6'2", 205, he's got very similar dimensions to Stephon Gilmore. And I think they play the game very similarly. They're both bigger corners. When you watch them, you don't always get that sense that they're bigger, physical, going to beat you up. Ringo's an incredible athlete. He ran 10.43 in 100, 21.18 in a 200 in high school. He can fly. It's a lot like Gilmore. I'm going with Gilmore as my comp for Ringo. At number 6, you got Brian Brise from Clemson. And I thought long and hard about a comp for him. And I thought, man, he's explosive. He has a true 3 technique, can get upfield, can destroy at the point of attack, but also a good rusher. And then I thought about Jets defensive tackle Quinnen Williams. I thought, you know what? Quinnen Williams is probably about 4 or 5 pounds heavier than Brise. But I felt from a disruption, chaos-creating standpoint that Brise and Williams were fairly similar. Number 5, a guy that really – I had him a little bit lower on the list just thinking about his career. And then I really studied him for a couple of games. I thought, this guy, I really like this. At number 5, I got Miles Murphy, defensive end out of Clemson. And the comp I came up with is going to sound strange because you're like, wait a second. Matt Judon from the Patriots? Yeah, Matt Judon from the Patriots. Every game that I've ever been on the same field as Judon, that guy has just torn my team to shreds. And he's got very similar dimensions to Matt Miles Murphy. He moves like him. Very fluid athlete. And Miles is the same way. At 6'5", 275. Very similar to Judon. Number 4 is Jalen Carter. I just think he's an absolute monster. He is everything that, you know, you heard people talk about Jalen Carter a lot. 6'5", 310. The guy that I see he's very similar to from a disruption standpoint, from an athleticism standpoint, is a guy, unfortunately, I see twice a year, and that's Titans defensive lineman Jeffrey Simmons. Simmons just wrecks shop. And yeah. Carter is built the same way and does the same thing. I just hope that Jalen Carter can end up in Houston so we have our own Jeffrey Simmons. And number 3, and I can't wait to hear your thought on my comp for this one, quarterback C.J. Stroud from Ohio State. I went back and forth with he and Bryce Young. Obviously, Bryce Young's at 2. But C.J. Stroud at number 3. And I was struggling for a comp, Eric. I was like, man, I'm really struggling. And then it hit me. I'm like, man, he's putting the ball right in the money every time. Ball placement's perfect. He's throwing receivers. He's throwing behind receivers to throw them away from big hits from safeties and linebackers. Man, that ball placement's familiar. Where have I seen that before? And then it hit me. The last time I wrote about a guy's ball placement that's that excellent was Joe Burrow. Mm. And so C.J. Stroud, I comp the Bengals quarterback, Joe Burrow. At number 2, I got Bryce Young. I love Bryce. I have him ahead of C.J. Stroud. I think Stroud might have more upside and potential, but I just love everything about Bryce Young other than, okay, he's 6'1", 194. And this is the part that will bother me because my buddy Daniel Jeremiah put on Twitter about a month back, he's like, oh, I comp him to Drew Brees. And I was so mad because when I did Bryce's comp a month before that, I wrote down Drew Brees. Just the way that he handles things in the pocket, the way he moves around. He doesn't look to run when he moves. He looks to throw. But I trust that Bryce is going to make the throw just like Drew Brees would.
Yeah, and real quick, you know, about the whole Drew Brees thing. Drew Brees early on was somebody that could move around a little bit. And you see that from Bryce Young. I've kind of – you said he looks a little like a skinny Russell Wilson, but, you know, same thing. Russell Wilson, very accurate as well.
Yes, absolutely. And number 1, and I don't think this is any surprise, outside linebacker Will Anderson Jr. from Alabama at 6'4", 243. I don't know if there's anything that he doesn't do well on a field. And so when I thought about edge players in the NFL, you know, most of them are 255. 250, 255. They're a little bit heavier. I mean, Anderson plays heavy because of his strength, his athleticism. And I'm like, man, who is he? And I thought, he's TJ Watt. And so my comp for Will Anderson Jr. was Steelers edge player TJ Watt. And I know the comp, sometimes you see me, you're like, oh. And then if somebody explains it, you're like, oh, okay, I get that sort of. Maybe I don't quite see it. But at least with Will Anderson Jr., the things that he does on a field, I've seen TJ do on a field. That playmaking ability that TJ has out on the edge at about 245 pounds, the athleticism he has. I think Will's a little bit more physical, but it's not as if TJ is a – he's not a softy in any respect. But that's where I went with my top 10 and the player comps as well.
I like it. And for player comps, and I know a lot of people, they hear this and they're like, heck no, he'll never be that. Look, nobody's saying he's going to be Watt.
Right.
But what we are saying is, hey, there's some similarities in their game. Now,
right.
You hope you can get out of these prospects what the pro players have turned into. But at the very least, you know that they have the capability. Will they do it? Right place, right time, landing spot. A lot of that matters as well. All right. But coming up, man, we got either or, one of my favorite times of the week with our guy, John Harris. But first, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about our good friends over at betonline.net and how it's the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your betting needs. Find your favorite sports and events at the number one online source for all odds, lines, and games. Find reviews and news of every league, all right? That's every league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, and golf, all right? BetOnline continues to be the top resource for all of your sports wagering information from live in-game betting, scores, and podcasts. They got you covered with all of that, all right? Head over to BetOnline today and use their mobile device to learn more about the action that's happening today, y'all. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, John. So it's my favorite time of the week, man. We got either or, so let me hear it.
Okay, you just heard my Harris 100. I have Bryce Young at 2. I got CJ Stroud at 3. Am I right? Either Bryce or CJ at 2.
I like Bryce a little bit more than CJ Stroud. With CJ Stroud, there have been some games where I'm like, man, he looks a little lost. And, I mean, even Ohio State, they had that thought process for a little bit as well. They started trying different quarterbacks early in the year, and they're like, nah. And then CJ Stroud finished extremely strong. We watched that Rose Bowl game. You talked about, you know, ball placement, the accuracy, especially down the field, throwing right over the outside shoulder. I mean, he was brilliant in that game. And if you continue to get that, then maybe we are talking about him being the better prospect. But just what we saw a little bit more on a consistent basis between the two quarterbacks, I'd have to lean towards Bryce Young as well.
Yeah, and to your point, you said it beautifully. You know, when you make a player comp, you obviously aren't saying, okay, this guy's going to be a 15-time Pro Bowl or whatever Drew Brees was. But stylistically, you see similar things. And that's why I say to a lot of people, oh, you're comping him to that. Yeah, stylistically, you see some of the same things in their games, even when those guys were coming out of college and what they evolved into. So stylistically, I look at Bryce and I see a lot of what Drew Brees did. Okay, this one. It's more of a theoretical question, but we've kind of seen two particular positions. I don't want to say devalued, but I think the way teams look at these two positions have sort of changed. Ironically, they were from two positions that I talked about of players that shined for the Texans on Saturday night. You have a need at both running back and safety. And equal grades on both, and you're sitting in the first round, let's say at pick number 20. Which way are you going, running back or safety?
I'm going to go with safety, because if I have a first round grade on a safety and a running back, I just think this safety is more of a reactionary position. So, running back, even if I have a guy who doesn't necessarily have a first round grade, I can still potentially kind of put him in positions to where he'll be somewhat successful. Safety, it's a little bit harder to get a playmaking type safety, a guy that you feel like you can use in a bunch of different ways. So if you have that higher grade on him, then that's definitely the guy that I feel like you should go with.
Okay, rookie talent show. And you've got to sing a Michael Jackson song. Are you singing Billie Jean or Beat It?
Definitely Beat It.
Okay.
Definitely
All right,
beat
good.
it.
All right. Which leads me to this one.
But Billie Jean, I believe I saw Aiden Hutchinson sing that during Hard Knocks, and he did a great job. He started off a little rocky. Started off a little rocky, but once he got into it, he got his juices flowing, got dancing a little bit. He got the his background singers, a.k.a. all his teammates behind him. I thought it was a great performance. I give him an A+.
Croc, you've been in a lot of locker rooms in your lifetime, have played the game for a long time. I know it sounds sort of dumb. Well, he did karaoke, whatever. But is that the sort of thing that can endear a rookie or a young guy to his teammates to get up there and just drop the facade and just go? Because it felt like his teammates were totally on board with him. And here's a guy who said his signing bonus was $23 million, and every one of them's going, yeah, I didn't make that bread. Can that be something that sort of endears himself to the rest of the team?
Yeah, because, you know, I think one thing that gets overlooked, especially with some of these younger guys, a lot of his teammates don't know him.
Yeah.
Right. You got the offensive guys. They have their offensive meetings. They work out together. They, you know, have their position meetings together. Right. And defense is just completely opposite. So there are probably a bunch of guys in those that locker room that haven't had any interaction with him, but only know him from seeing the guy on at Michigan with the black stripe going down his face. And, oh, you just made a bunch of money because you were the number two overall pick. Right. So, you know, doing things like that can definitely start to kind of turn that page to where guys get to see a different version of you than what maybe they've seen on television. And, okay, start to get a little bit more personal and maybe start to have a conversation a little bit with them. So it definitely can help.
Yeah. Okay. And you'll see why I asked you a question about Billie Jean and about Beat It, because it got me thinking about the Lions. And it got me thinking about a particular employee of the Lions. Better up arrow right now for a young GM in the league, either Brad Holmes with the Detroit Lions or Joe Douglas with the New York Jets.
Oh, man, that's a tough one. But if I had to pick between the two, gosh, and I say it's tough because I had even suggested on social media, I think even before the season was over, I'm like, man, if I'm the Jets, I go out and I go get Robert Saleh.
Yeah,
so they
went
and got the guy that I like.
Right.
I think Robert Saleh is definitely someone who is a culture changer, and I believe he's kind of doing that. But, man, this almost comes down to between the two culture changers, right? Dan Campbell and Robert Saleh. And the GMs hired both of these guys. And one thing I like about the Lions, what they've done so far, they haven't committed to a quarterback. So they still have a chance to make that move. Right now with New York, everything is hitched to Zach Wilson. And we'll see how it turns out. But, you know, had a rookie year, it wasn't great. And then this year, it kind of starts off, he has a knee injury. And I was hearing reports that, man, if they had to rank quarterbacks, he'd be the third-ranked quarterback in camp behind both Joe Flacco and Mike White. So I think that's a situation right there based on the general manager kind of picking that guy. Like, that was your guy, Joe Douglas, a guy a lot of people are high on, talking about Joe Douglas. So I'd actually go in a different direction there, and I'm going to go with the Lions general manager just because they're still a little bit unknown at the quarterback position, but he has an opportunity to make that move. I really like to hire Dan Campbell, a guy who kind of looked, I don't want to say like a joker or a clown. I don't want to call him that. But, you know, you get up there, and the first time people really get to kind of meet you, you're talking about biting kneecaps and all this other stuff. And even on Hard Knocks, he comes up there, and he's like, hey, I don't care if you have three fingers and one butt cheek. Like, I'm going to beat you, you know? And he comes off a little different, but when you see how his players react to him and how in tune they are with his message and, you know, kind of continue to get guys that match that and then maybe they can feed off of that. I don't know. There's something about that guy I believe in. So I think he's going to really help their general manager kind of take this team to next level. So I'm going to go with the Lions on this one.
I'm going to go with Brad Holmes as well on this one, even though I think what Joe Douglas is doing in New York is admirable. But his whole run in New York is going to be, whether good or bad, it's going to ride on Zach Wilson. But Brad Holmes, one of the first things he did was he got the Rams to trade him two first-round picks, and then he got their quarterback. And look, I'm not going to tell you Jared Goff is the greatest thing since sliced bread, but you can have Jared Goff in a lineup and let young players grow up and mature around. And when those guys have reached a particular level, then you can look at it and go, okay, is Jared Goff the right guy for us? Okay, maybe not. Well, then let's go get our quarterback at that point. And then his regime will then be based off of that. But I think he's drafted really well. The move to go get Jameson Williams up in the draft last year, I thought was a good one. I really like Brad Holmes, and I think he will do a great job with Detroit. But I think both of them will do well. But I'm with you. I think the up arrow goes a little bit more at Brad Holmes.
Right. And also with the Lions, what they did to trade up from pick 32 the way up to pick 12. They gave up, obviously they swapped 32 and 12 and then gave up pick 34. All right, you can have that second round pick and pick 66, you know, in the third round. So I think just off of that, you're talking about a general manager to be able to kind of fleece a team like that and add a weapon. And Jameson Williams is my wide receiver one in this class. If he comes
and a
back,
division and a division team at that, he did it to the damn Vikings.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of
big. Gotta go with Brad Holmes.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Brad Holmes too.
Well, all right, man. John Harris, I appreciate you coming on. Always love either or. We miss our guy, Ryan Tracy. He's not with us today, but he'll be back soon, I'm sure. All right, but I definitely want to thank everyone out there for making Locked On NFL Draft your first listen of the day. Now, go make Locked On Fantasy Football your second listen of the day. Find the intellectual fantasy expert Vinny on there, who brings over 20 years of NFL experience and a unique angle to give you the moves no one else has or can. Get ready for your fantasy draft with Locked On Fantasy Football. But that's going to do it for this episode of Locked On NFL Draft. We thank you, and we'll see y'all tomorrow when we got Rob Rang joining us. Peace!